You will hear the director of a childcare centre talking to the parent of a new child.
Good morning. My name is Bob Ferguson and I'm the director of Ascot Childcare Centre.
Oh, good morning. I'm Sally Ann Cullen. I made an appointment to enrol my daughter.
That's right. I've got the application form right here. Now, first I need some personal details. So the family name is Cullen, is that right?
That's right.
Now, what about your daughter? What does she like to be called?
Oh, her name is Alexandra, but we all just call her Alex. A-L-E-X.
Great. As you know, we organise the children into different age groups. There's the babies group, the toddlers, aged 2 to 3, and the preschoolers. They're aged 4 to 5. How old is your daughter?
Well, she'd go into the toddler group. She's just turned 3.
And we always like to make a note of our children's birthdays so we can celebrate it all together if they're at the centre on that day. When was she born?
Oh, the 8th of November.
Fine. And we also find it's a great help to know about siblings. Sometimes a problem at the centre can be related to problems with a sibling. Does she have any brothers or sisters?
Yes, a brother, Fraser. He's 2 years older.
So that would make him 5, is that right?
Yes, that's right.
Fine. Now, we also need a contact address. Where do you live?
It's 108 Park Road. That's P-A-R-K, Maidstone.
Good. Now, last of all, we need a telephone number we can call if there are any problems.
Oh, well, I'll be at work and so will my husband, so the best number to call is 3467-8890.
Right. And is that a close relative?
Yes, it's my mother-in-law's number.
We prefer to make a note of how the person is related to the child, so I'll write down grandmother.
Yes, that does make more sense.
Now, that's all of the personal details. We also like to try and get a picture of your child's personal development. Can you tell me if there are any specific problems she's having? For example, does she get on well with other children? Is sleeping a problem?
Oh, she gets on well with others, I think. But she does have trouble sleeping. We gave up her daytime nap a long time ago.
That's good to know. I'll make a note of that. She can just have some quiet time while the others are resting, if she likes.
That should be fine. She enjoys drawing quietly.
Right. Now, what about other skills? We occasionally take the children swimming, fully supervised, of course, and we only go in a paddling pool as we don't expect them to swim by themselves yet. Does your daughter need a lot of help getting changed?
No, not at all. In fact, she's been able to get dressed in the mornings for over a year now, so no problems there.
That must be a big help for you. Now, what about the childcare arrangements? Are there any specific days you require?
Well, I work Monday to Wednesday, but my mother-in-law has agreed to look after her on Wednesdays.
So does that mean that you'll just need Monday and Tuesday for now?
That's right.
And what about the pick-up time? We offer extended hours for parents who work a great distance away.
I work until 3 o'clock, but it takes me about half an hour to drive home, so ideally I'd like to pick her up at 4, if that's okay.
That would be fine. Now, is there any other information you'd like?
You will hear a woman talking on the radio about things for children to do during the school holidays.
The school holidays are fast approaching, and I'm sure all of you parents out there are worried about how to occupy your children. Well, I have a few tips that may help keep your children entertained without spending large amounts of money. One of our biggest problems is that today's children often do not have the type of hobby that was familiar in the past, such as making their own toys. Instead, they rely on sophisticated video games to keep them amused. But children also like to feel needed. So why not give them jobs to do around the house? You may be surprised how much they will enjoy simple tasks such as washing your car. Another idea is to use this time to develop their cooking skills. Food is something we all enjoy, so why not get them to prepare some simple dishes in the kitchen? Learning to cook is a useful life skill for children to learn, and it can also keep them happy for several hours. Children also love doing arts and crafts, so why not give them the task of making presents for upcoming birthdays or celebrations? Not only will they enjoy making them, but you'll also save some money, and the family or friends who receive the gifts are sure to be delighted. A great idea to get children out of the house is to find out about how they can help in your local community. Perhaps there is a home for the elderly nearby. They are sure to welcome a visit from young people. Even a few minutes a week can brighten their day. Of course, younger children cannot do these things for very long, but older ones may find that there are ongoing projects around your neighbourhood that they can help with. These are just a few ideas, but I'm sure you can think of many more. If not, there are plenty of places to look for other suggestions. Nowadays, the first place people seem to look is the internet, which can be a good source of information. However, it does have its limits, because ideas suitable for children living in the city may not translate well for children in rural areas. So don't overlook your library. These are often filled with great ideas targeted at children in your specific area. There are a few key points to remember, however. One of the most important things is to keep your children active, otherwise they will be sure to get bored. Also, remember that although children can be very independent, even from 9 or 10 years old, you should still be there to take care of them up to the age of 12. So don't be tempted to let older children babysit their younger siblings. This should only be done by an adult.
Section 3. You will hear a student called Rob, who is in the first year of a theatre studies course, talking to another student called Mia, who's in the fourth year of the same course. First, you have some time to look at questions 21 to 25. Now listen carefully and answer questions 21 to 25.
Hi, Rob. How's the course going?
Oh, hi, Mia. Yeah, great. I can't believe the first term's nearly over.
I saw your group's performance last night at the student theatre. It was good.
Really? Yeah, but now we have to write a report on the whole thing, an in-depth analysis. I don't know where to start. Like, I have to write about the role I played, the Doctor, how I developed the character.
Well, what was your starting point?
My grandfather was a doctor before he retired, and I just based it on him.
OK, but how? Did you talk to him about it?
He must have all sorts of stories, but he never says much about his work, even now. He has a sort of authority, though.
So how did you manage to capture that?
I'd visualise what he must have been like in the past when he was sitting in his consulting room listening to his patients.
OK, so that's what you explain in your report.
Right.
Then there's the issue of atmosphere. So in the first scene we needed to know how boring life was in the Doctor's village in the 1950s. So when the curtain went up on the first scene in the waiting room, there was that long silence before anyone spoke. And then people kept saying the same thing over and over, like, cold, isn't it?
Yes, and everyone wore grey and brown and just sat in a row.
Yes, all those details of the production.
And I have to analyse how I functioned in the group, what I found out about myself. I know I was so frustrated at times when we couldn't agree.
Yes. So did one person emerge as the leader?
Sophia did. That was okay. She helped us work out exactly what to do for the production. And that made me feel better, I suppose.
When you understood what needed doing?
Yes. And Sophia did some research too. That was useful in developing our approach.
Like what?
Well, she found these articles from the 1950s about how relationships between children and their parents, or between the public and people like bank managers or the police, were shifting.
Interesting. And did you have any practical problems to overcome?
Well, in the final rehearsal, everything was going fine until the last scene. That's where the doctor's first patient appears on stage on his own.
The one in the wheelchair?
Yes. And he had this really long speech, with the stage all dark except for one spotlight.
Mm.
And then that stuck somehow, so it was shining on the wrong side of the stage. But anyway, we got that fixed, thank goodness.
Yes, it was fine on the night.
Before you hear the rest of the discussion, you have some time to look at questions 26 to 30. Now listen and answer questions 26 to 30.
But while you're here, Mia, I wanted to ask you about the year abroad option. Would you recommend doing that?
Yes, definitely. It's a fantastic chance to study in another country for a year.
I think I'd like to do it, but it looks very competitive. There's only a limited number of places.
Yes. So, next year, when you're in the second year of the course, you need to work really hard in all your theatre studies modules. Only students with good marks get places. You have to prove that you know your subject really well.
Right. So, how did you choose where to go?
Well, I decided I wanted a programme that would fit in with what I wanted to do after I graduate. So I looked for a university with emphasis on acting rather than directing, for example. It depends on you. Then about 6 months before you go, you have to email the scheme coordinator with your top three choices. I had a friend who missed the deadline and didn't get her first choice. So you do need to get a move on at that stage. You'll find that certain places are very popular with everyone.
And don't you have to write a personal statement at that stage?
Yes.
Right. I'll get some of the final year students to give me some tips. Maybe see if I can read what they wrote.
I think that's a very good idea. I don't mind showing you what I did. And while you're abroad, don't make the mistake I made. I got so involved I forgot all about making arrangements for when I came back here for the final year. Make sure you stay in touch so they know your choices for the optional modules. You don't want to miss out doing your preferred specialisms.
Right.
That is the end of section three. You now have half a minute to check your answers. Section four. You will hear part of a lecture about leadership introducing a theory called self-regulatory focus theory. First, you have some time to look at questions 31 to 40. Now listen carefully and answer questions 31 to 40.
Today, I want to talk about self-regulatory focus theory. and how the actions of leaders can affect the way followers approach different situations. Self-regulatory focus theory is a theory developed by Torrey Higgins. He says that a person's focus at any given time is to either approach pleasure or avoid pain. These are two basic motivations that each and every one of us has, and they cause us to have different kinds of goals. Promotion goals in different life situations emphasize achievement. Prevention goals are oriented towards the avoidance of punishment. In a specific situation, our thoughts might focus more on promotion goals or more on prevention goals. The theory suggests that two factors affect which goals we are focusing on. First, there is a chronic factor. This factor is connected to a person's personality and says that each person has a basic tendency to either focus more on promotion goals or focus more on prevention goals as part of his or her personality. Second, there is a situational factor, which means that the context we are in can make us more likely to focus on one set of goals or the other. For example, we are more likely to be thinking about pleasure and to have promotion goals when we are spending time with a friend. In contrast, if we are working on an important project for our boss, we are more likely to try to avoid making mistakes and therefore have more prevention goals in our mind. Research has shown that the goals we are focusing on at a given time affect the way we think. For example, when focusing on promotion goals, people consider their ideal self, their aspirations and gains. They don't think about what they can lose, so they think in a happier mode. They feel more inspired to change. When people are focusing on prevention goals, they think about their ought self. What are they supposed to be? What are people expecting from them? They consider their obligations to others. As a result, they experience more anxiety and try to avoid situations where they could lose. Now that I have talked about the two focuses and how they affect people, I want to look at the idea that the way leaders behave, or their style of leading, can affect the focus that followers adopt in a specific situation. In talking about leadership, we often mention transformational leaders and transactional leaders. Transformational leaders, when interacting with their followers, focus on their development. In their words and actions, transformational leaders highlight change. Their speech is passionate and conveys a definitive vision. All of these things can encourage followers to think about what could be. In other words, they inspire a promotion focus in their followers. In contrast, transactional leaders focus on developing clear structures that tell their followers exactly what is expected of them. While they do explain the rewards people will get for following orders, they emphasize more how a follower will be punished or that a follower won't get rewarded if his or her behavior doesn't change. In short, they emphasize the consequences of making a mistake. This emphasis will clearly lead followers to focus on avoiding punishment and problems. This is clearly a prevention focus. In conclusion, It is important to understand that one focus is not necessarily better than the other one. For a designer who works in a field where a lot of innovation is needed, a promotion focus is probably better. In contrast, a prevention focus, which causes people to work more cautiously and produce higher quality work, might be very appropriate for a job like a surgeon, for example. The main point of the research, though, is that the actions of leaders can greatly influence whether people approach a situation with more of a promotion focus or more of a prevention focus.
That is the end of section 4. You now have half a minute to check your answers.